Hello, hello, welcome back. It's episode 12. This is a shortish one for you this evening, I expect. We're bringing you a few spoilers, a trickle of spoilers from the latest part of Liberation, which you probably already know now is called Rebellion Without Rehearsal. But before we dig into that and dive in, I'm going to introduce the rest of the cast this evening. So as per usual, we've got Mike P. Hello, Mike.
Hello, hello.
Awesome. And Chris Nehemiah Dyer. Say hello, Chris.
Very bold to promise that this is going to be short right at the start of the episode. Foolish, even.
Good intentions. Starting with good intentions this evening. And joining us on some rather shonky internet from Middle Eastern Europe, it's Theo. Say hello, Theo. There we go. You heard it there first. Right, so we're going to try
if we make
sort
it,
of drop
if we made
spoilers.
It through 3 hours with no one falling off this podcast, that would be astonishing.
Just a rotating cast as people get forced in to replace us.
We've got a big enough selection now. We could probably do that. We'll bear that in mind next time. We'll have a substitute spend. Right, so we're going to try and dig through these spoilers. I'll take them one at a time. We've got four. They're all HB cards. So picture in your mind when we talk about these cards now, the nice purple frame. It's all corpse side. So wherever you are, just hold that in your mind. I'll read through them. I'll even spend a little bit of time describing the art, because I know in the past we've been a bit... we've skipped over that. We've glanced off it, because we're not that... we're not interested in the art normally apart from Alex, but I'll give you a bit of a rundown. So our first card for this evening is called Warm Reception. It is a one cost political ritzy asset, because everyone likes ritzy, and it reads: when your turn begins, you may install one card from HQ. You cannot score that card this turn. If this server is not protected by ice, you may derez this asset to derez another installed card. It is too trash, and it's got a nice little piece of art. It's an external view of a large official-looking office building. There's a flag in the background. Now, I was looking at this earlier, and I couldn't decide what colour it was, so I went on the Dulux colour chart, and I matched it up to a Jarvan Dawn. So it's a Jarvan Dawn. Imagine a Jarvan Dawn. That's the sort of the colour of it. So we're assuming it's a government building. And there's a high-profile official warmly greeting a visiting party of, I assume, diplomats. And there's a lot of security guys surrounding them that appear to have machine guns crossed with a flat-screen LCD TV. I'm not sure what's going on there. But if you do, let me know. But yeah.
I mean, I assume it's meant to be the Brazil flag, John.
Oh, is it? Is that what it is?
It would make sense if it was a Brazil flag. But anyway, let's not focus too much on the colour.
I didn't have the time to look up all the colours, so that's just... but yeah, he wants to lead us off on the actual competitive applications or initial assessment of this asset.
So it's an interesting one to try and work out. Really though, you can't. I don't think you can assess this all as one thing. What this is like two abilities that I think you almost want to consider completely separately, right? There's the like ability to install stuff with a political asset, and then there's derez synergy that we have more of coming, and then there's sort of the whole: is it good to derez your own cards? What are you trying to achieve in a deck with that? So like on the first one, how good is it to clicklessly install a card, presumably an asset, if we're installing political assets every turn in HB?
Yeah, it's tricky, right? So the obvious use of the card is to try and score an agenda. You can't score the card that you install, but you can install like a calibration testing or a BAS or something clicklessly, and then score a free advancement agenda off the back of that, which isn't nothing. That's like, as an ability, that's okay. But it exists in a kind of a sports deck, probably, that we haven't seen for a while now. It's been missing in action for a while.
In a sports deck that currently isn't installing enough servers to protect a Blizzard Glasser in a meaningful way. Like, it protects cards by having face downs that you think, oh, that might be a Hyperloop, I don't want to hit that. But it doesn't tend to spam out 20 remotes and deny you the time to go and deal with a crap 2-crossed asset. If it was good, you could just trash it.
Yeah, that's right. In pure tempo terms, drawing a card is much better than installing a card for your free click, because if you're just bothered about installing a whole bunch of stuff, actually card flow into your hand is the more difficult part of that equation. Like, especially if you've got multiples of these, you can't really install multiple things in a turn very easily, especially at the start of your turn. It's much better to draw cards and then install them with your actual clicks.
Yeah, we kind of, when we first got these cards as well, we were looking at this Rosora and trying to work out how you make this work with the best purple asset with Wage Workers that isn't called Thieves. And I will remember it's called Wage Workers. Your play patterns with Wage Workers involve installing three cards and then doing something else, and then drawing three cards and doing something else. And on the turn where you're installing three cards, like, this doesn't really help you get the extra piece of click tempo out of that unless you're installing four cards, and that demands that you have a lot of cards in hand that you want to install. So it's awkward, but if you can find a deck that wants to do this, it's a free click every single turn, at least. And it potentially does some kind of gross things, like, say, I don't know, if you had an asset like, the only one that immediately is jumping to mind is Ronin, which probably isn't something you really want to do something with, but if you have an asset that you just want to, like, interact with for several clicks in a turn and then win the game, this is a nasty way, potentially, to present that to the runner in a time they weren't expecting. Because then, like, say, with this and Wage Workers and something like Ronin, you can drop it and still advance it four times, and then you're only a click off getting the fire, or...
It's the contract killer playline, effectively, where you're going click, click, trigger. This lets you do that from hand rather than from the board. So I don't think we have a card yet that really plays off that, but if you ever do, that click compression rather than the extra tempo becomes quite valuable. Yeah. Once you do a click, that you don't want the runner to trash as well.
It would make sense in the context of something like the executives that you really don't want to install. Like, say you have a play where... executives, is that what they were called back in the olden days? Like cards like Director Haas and Chairman Hero that you really, really don't want to leave on the board, but that are suddenly critical on the turn, you can put them down.
Yeah, so that means it's a combo piece.
I think I've lost Theo entirely. A bit of, Theo's unfortunate internet situation. This is like when they have technical difficulties on Eurovision.
same budget, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, just okay. Fair enough. Theo is gonna bow out of this conversation for unfortunate technical problems. We're gonna receive some thoughts third hand, and then we'll pass them in as and when we
pretend they're our own.
Yeah,
Mike can edit them in after.
Oh yeah, I can. We can ask Theo to record that later. yeah, so I guess that's always sort of like just the first half of this maybe on its own currently feels like an ability that is sort of in want of a home, because the only combo-y asset deck that currently exists tend to be an orb, and orb doesn't have any problems like shenaniganing a card onto the board because the idea does it for you. So this feels like it is sort of in want of like an Acer asset spam deck, or it's in want of some truly grotesque ice spam deck, but like that probably doesn't want to just leave a political asset on the board, so that doesn't really do anything. So for that half of the card, I'm just not sure where this goes, but it is, you know, a click a turn is a good ability if you can find a home. What do we think about
it's
de-rising
cards? That's what I was going
to
say. This bit is the only bit that gets turned off by icing the political asset.
Yeah.
Like that whole section we just talked about with installing one card, that fires regardless if you've iced this or not, which is quite interesting to me.
It's a hard card to ice though, right? It's just not giving you a lot of value. Like,
Well, if you have it iced, it can kind of function like a sort of pseudo ginger grid, where you have this ginger grid, and you're using ginger to install ice, you're using this to install ice assets, or even to install an agenda. You could use this to drop an agenda on itself, and then just like, I don't know, click for a bunch of credits, or play a like triple, or do something ridiculous, if you're building some huge ice tower.
Yep.
Or say if you're installing a bunch of harmonic ice.
I do agree that... So the thing with this card is the value is okay, right? Because a click a turn is good. I just agree that it's just missing the rest of the cards that would make it a deck. So either that's a very, very heavy tempo HB deck with a lot of assets, which doesn't really exist. Or it's a combo HB deck, which doesn't really exist. Or it's some weird ice thing, which I don't even want to conceive of, but hope doesn't exist.
Interesting. So maybe in want to a home could go somewhere. So then,
yeah.
Apart from that, the other half of this card, the ability that does get turned on if you ice it, the political half, is on the face of it another very odd ability, because like even outside of sort of is de-resing things good? Do you want to de-res your ice? Like I think traditionally we've always looked at things and been like de-resing is a downside on cards. Having to de-res something is a downside on cards that you can maybe, with some deck building shenanigans, turn into an upside by playing ice that you want to res over and over again. And the fact that this is asking you to de-res the warm reception in order to do that suggests that either this wants to exist in a context where de-resing is really good and you really want to de-res this card, or de-resing is so good that you want to pay the like cost of de-resing this asset. But either way, it's suggesting that the de-res target has to be extremely valuable. Like, I don't think you're de-resing this to de-res a Marilyn to pay 3 credits to put another 5 credits, or like 8 credits on the Marilyn. That seems that's nowhere near good enough.
Yeah, that's right. By now, about the ID from this set, which gives you a bonus when you res ice. There's a few other HB cards that give you a bonus when you res them, like Gatekeeper and Hakarl. It feels like if you're not re-resing assets, like I guess re-resing a Spin Doctor is okay, but it doesn't really do a lot for you. You're trying to re-res ice to get bonuses from when you've res that ice. That feels like the only kind of reasonable payoff for an ability that you can fire multiple times like this.
Yeah. So the thing that kind of jumps to mind immediately with this, like something you might want to de-res and re-res immediately, that also came to mind for me when I saw this agenda to force res multiple pieces of ice and then de-res all of them, that again spoiled earlier in the week, was Hafren and the sort of decks that use Hafren to force a score by making the runner encounter an unbreakable piece of ice, and then using this to reset your trap over and over again. Well, not necessarily a trap, like once it's known it's not a trap, it's just, you know, your combat trick that makes your ice irritating. And I guess, like, if you've set up some situation where the runner can't get through when the Hafren gets rezzed and they take, I don't know, a bunch of net damage from an Anansi, or they have to let an Ansel fire into a gank loop or something, that is something that I would pay de-resing, I would de-res my warp reception for. Like, that is within the sort of bounds of that cost, but also that's not, again, not usually a deck that plays assets.
Well, especially as Gank Loop has gone now, hasn't it? So at least that that prong of the fork is dead.
True.
But yeah, it just feels, this bit feels weirdly like it's less value than the main ability to me. The main ability feels like it is reasonably potent, just because click a turn is good. De-resing a card to de-res another card is less valuable. And again, unless you've got something really, really strong, I don't think there's anything that exists at the moment where you want to reliably be de-resing a card, unless there's enough critical mass of all these de-res effects that are printed to make it worthwhile. Because even de-resing ice like Hafren or Anemone...
Oh, that's vile. Don't de-res Anemone every single time.
Yeah. But then, if that's the best case, though, the runner knows where the Anemone is. You know, you can... Because you've got full, complete information about where it is and when it's de-resed, you can play around it, even if it's gross and horrible, you can play around it because you know what the situation is.
So I guess it kind of feels like this de-res effect is in want of another powerful on-res effect. I think this is an ability would also be very powerful if you still had something in the game like Surat City Grid. because do you remember the old Surat decks where you're like, it's just like, find a way to trick all of your ice into costing zero and then res all of it in one go. And I think if you had some payoff like that off a forced res, and then you could use this to repeatedly de-res and res for money, or if you had something like assembly lines and you were using this to de-res assembly lines every turn for just like plus credits and also triggers on your working prototype, which we'll get to in a second, like that would be sort of pure econ upside. Or even if Lakshmi, something like Lakshmi was a card as a reward for de-resing and re-resing cards, this would be a way to force counters onto the Lakshmi. And I think with, again, this HB asset deck that sort of putatively exists with this, like, it just doesn't have the payoff for that at this moment.
Especially because even if you do assemble that, this has got a trash cost of 2, and if you use that de-res effect, it's not iced. And HB doesn't have a protection card to stop you trashing their assets.
It's interesting. I mean, with this whole de-res effect as well being one of the main parts of it, it seems maybe, even though it's going to be a tough one to export somewhere else as well, I know it's only 2 influence costs, but you'd need to be probably building up that critical mass of de-res effects, and that seems like it's going to be even harder outside of HB to achieve.
Yeah, I think you're just short of the on-res effects. They got Ablated Barrier last set, which is a reasonable res effect, particularly an acid deck, and there may be some really weird synergy there where Ablated Barriers keep putting cards like this back, and you've got this huge loop of being able to install cards for as long as you like, but you have to have a payoff for doing that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Tough one to assess then. I think. Just yes, the general verdict on that one.
Yeah, let's file this one under. It's probably, right now, if you just drop this card into the meta, it probably doesn't do anything, but we reserve the right to immediately correct that if we see any card in this set that says on res that looks good.
Yeah, I think the summary is, doesn't any decks at the moment, doesn't provide enough value on its own with the cards we know about to create new deck, but has a pretty high ceiling if you could ever get it to work with some theoretical cards that support it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I want to hear John's art description of the next card. Yeah, I want to hear John's art.
I want full colour palettes from the Dulux colour chart.
Full colour palettes. I've got some of it for you. So the next card that we're going to know is Working Prototype. So... It's a 1-cost asset hostile. We'll go through the text first. So whenever you res a card, including this asset, place 1 power counter on this asset. So it's another res or de-res card. And it's got a couple of abilities on it. Click, hosted power counter, gain 3. And click 5 hosted power counters, gain 6. Add 1 installed resource to the top of the stack. It's got a trash cost of 2, and it's 2 influence. The art on this one, so it's the interior of a what looks to be like an HB testing facility or factory. It's got a rather cheery looking military chap who's wearing a large exosuit with the word Polizia emblazoned across the chest, and he's giving folks around him a thumbs up. There's a circle of executives and staff looking on, and there's a technician in the foreground who seems to be checking readings. If you want the colour palette for this, Chris, I've deduced that the main exosuit body would be closest to Lost Lake, which is like a nice pale colour, probably quite good for your downstairs bathroom. And he's got a visor, which I closely matched to Tangerine Twist.
Oh, very
there
nice.
There you go.
Sort of a...
Incredible content. Thanks, John.
Anytime.
My crucial takeaway from the art on this one is that nobody's at all impressed by his big thumbs up. They're just standing stone-faced as he gurns at the wall.
He's very happy, but they're not.
No, nobody else is.
Like staring at this guy dressed up as a space marine, looking confused. He's so into it. Okay. So... Yeah, this is, in this set, outside of doing some busted stuff with ice, from the cards that we've seen, this is your payoff for de-resing and re-resing assets over and over. This is, I think, like, you can sort of see the 2-card combo where you use Warm Reception to de-res a Spin Doctor, you res the Spin Doctor, so you're sort of paying 1 credit for 2 cards, and you're sort of getting 3 credits out of this card when you do it. That in itself doesn't seem amazing. Like, if you ignore the second ability, just the first ability, click for 3 credits. If you're sort of having to put that next to a Regolith or a NGO, it feels like you're doing quite a lot of work to not get a ton of value out of it. So to me, it feels like for this to be good, that second ability has to be like pretty easily attainable and really backbreaking for these things to be worth putting together in the deck.
Yeah, it really does suffer by comparison to Regolith as a base use case. So Regolith also says click, take 3 credits. Regolith lets you do it 5 times before you trash it, but realistically you can't do it much more than 5 times before the runner trashes it, or you want to use the server for something else anyway. Regolith also gets you 1 more trash cost, and then you don't have to jump through these hoops to make sure you have enough abilities on it. So if you're just using it as an econ asset, you should be playing Regolith instead. The only way this can possibly be worthwhile is if it's going to be your econ for a long time, you're going to use it repeatedly, and you can reliably fuel it, because I think it will actually be quite easy to run out of counters on this if you, unless you're jumping through those hoops.
So what's the grossest resource to get bounced in standard right now? Like, if it feels like the corp had to put in quite a lot of work, especially because, like, if you look at the if you think about this economy, you're kind of paying 9. I mean, you're not really paying 9 credits because you're also only doing it in a click instead of in 5 clicks, but you are giving up quite a lot of econ potential to use the second ability compared to the first ability, because you're taking 5 counters off it. So yeah, you're not paying, like, if you assume somehow this has an infinite number of counters on it, like you have put just like more than you're ever going to click off, then you're not losing anything. But if you assume that you're going to take 5 off and then at some point in the future be like, I would like to click for 3 but I have no credits left on my prototype, I mean, what really hurts? Getting like a Earthrise hotel bounced really hurt, like, hurts quite a lot, but it's not devastating. Getting a Liberated bounced would really suck, but
yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a lot.
Only if you haven't used it straight away, right?
Yeah, so I mean, Liberated in the really bad situation.
Yeah.
Are there any resource tech cards at the moment that people are really reliant on? I guess there's like
no. It seems like Bankar. Bouncing Bankar matters because then Bankar doesn't have a start of turn trigger.
It's true.
That's pretty much the only one I found when I was looking through. Again, you can bounce stuff like the companions that have credits on them and they lose those credits and then you slow them down a bit. But
Twinning, I suppose, as well, falls in that way.
Yeah. But you're not denying them the use of these abilities long term. You're just effectively denying them the tempo boost to get them back into play and any counters they'd accumulated. So
yeah. So again, that becomes good if you can get. But it becomes good if you can get a huge number of counters on this, and you could be repeatedly using this ability. Because like bouncing a daily cost with 6 credits left on it is not that good. Bouncing it again the turn afterwards is devastating, or making it hard for them to install it again. But because this is very trashable, you have to be installing so many cards that they leave this, or you put, like, I don't know, you somehow put 10 counters on it in a turn by just rezzing a million cards.
Yeah, it's almost a prison card, in that repeatedly bouncing cards run aside is potentially horrendously oppressive. But because you're just bouncing resources every time, that doesn't stop you running and trashing the card. If it bounced other stuff as well, if it bounced hardware, if it bounced programs in particular, you could very easily find yourself in this locked loop. But no runner is really relying on resources in order to challenge a board at the moment, particularly Bankar's the only one that stops that. So I don't think it really works from a lockout perspective, or really lets you exploit the fact that you can use it repeatedly from that angle, unless you're just challenging them on money and they're so poor that they can't get in and afford to break it.
Doesn't even seem to me like this is a card that you can rely on to survive for a long period of time if it's going to cause the runner a problem. Like, the trash cost is not particularly oppressive at all. Two, if this was a 1/4, maybe I could see it maybe being a bit more of an annoyance for the runner in that perspective, but it's two costs is negligible.
I could see it in a very wide Acer deck where you aren't assuming you're going to click it. You're sticking it in a remote early, and then you are just building your board and building your board. And it's something that the runner has to go and deal with eventually while they're under click pressure from the fact that you're installing an enormous number of assets and you're using or threatening to use the next card to pressure their clicks even more, and you're doing something else. And then you have this sort of building threat where every few turns you're just going to set them back and set them back, and if they go and fight over it, that's a waste of time for them. But again, that is sort of dependent on you having something to achieve with that deck, which we haven't seen for a while. I mean, again, that could be something that's in the set, or it could be something that appears in the next set, but like currently we don't really have a wink on. We're not doing things like scoring successful field test and installing 15 remotes and immediately superpowering this.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I suppose it's notable that it's not a unique. You could have multiple of these on the board, I suppose, all accruing power at the same time.
Or something.
That is true.
Interesting.
And the other difficulty is you do have to telegraph it.
Yeah, unless you have a lot of very cheap cards to res all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that combo burst probably doesn't work unless it's winning you the game, like leaving five cards on res. Rest to be extremely powerful for the payoff to be worth it, because the runner would have had to ignore your board in order to trigger.
Have a fun trivia question for you both. This asset is subtype Hostile. Hostile has previously only been printed on assets and a single upgrade. Which upgrade is Hostile in the history of Netrunner?
Oh, Bamboo Dome?
No.
No.
It's more hostile.
I was going to say Overseer Matrix.
More hostile.
It's much more hostile. Uh-huh.
More hostile than that.
It is.
How hostile can it be?
It's in HB. I can tell you that.
Oh.
It's a classic misunderstood card.
How old is it?
Misunderstood by everyone. Very. Probably about 9 years old.
Is it Tears Hand?
It's Tears Hand.
the most misunderstood card of all
time. maybe that's why his hand is so big. That's Tears' actual hand. This guy is Tears.
That's why he's so cheery. Look,
the GLC newbies are just staring at their
yeah. No, he looks so happy because he thinks he's about to force a subroutine to resolve.
brilliant.
Okay.
Right. How are we feeling about working prototype? Do you feel like we've done enough with this? Do you want to move on?
I will sum it up by saying just play Regolith.
Sure.
For now, nice. Just play Regolith. Unless we, again, get an Assembly Lines. If we get a deck that has, like, Assembly Lines, Lakshmi, Warm Reception, and we just repeatedly re-res these three cards over and over again, and then use this to bounce the runner's board to hell, that sounds very nasty and potentially quite strong. But again, for now, it's kind of like, to what end? Yeah, just take 9 credits off Regolith and have a nice time.
Yeah, I should treat this almost as a tech card at this point. It has to be played against a deck where the resource is crucial and bouncing it gives you a huge advantage.
Okay, notable then. Something you may be more circle back to if such a deck arises in the future. But yeah, another one that seems quite tough to accurately assess at the moment, in isolation at least.
You'll both be delighted to know we've just had some notes from Theo, and Theo's notes on working prototype are: this is a Regolith that can be infinite, but it's really conditional. The second mode is very niche. Maybe you can bounce a twinning with 20 counters, jump through a lot of hoops, and it's still probably worse than Regolith. So we're on brand. We've hit it perfectly.
Excellent. All right. Now that we've got Theo on Telegram, whatever it is he's using to communicate, we will We'll jump on to the next card. So we're leaving assets behind. This is an operation. So this is active policing. It's a zero cost operation. It's a terminal. It's a grey ops. And it's got quite a lot of text on it, so bear with me. Play only if the runner stole or trashed a corp card during their last turn. After you resolve this operation, your action phase ends. You may install one card from HQ. The runner gets -1 allotted click for their next turn. Threat 3, you may pay 2 credits. If you do, the runner gets -1 allotted click for their next turn. This ability is active only if the player has 3 or more agenda points. It's a 3 influence operation. It's got no trash cost. the art, right, okay. So this one wasn't super easy to describe. So it's a person is pinned to the floor by a rather large feline robot. Is that quite accurate, feline robot? I think feline looks more feline than doggy to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Shades of sugared lilac, when I looked it up on the Dulux colour chart, that one. His hands are raised in what appears to be apparent surrender. We can see a large number of people apparently fleeing in the background. Our perspective shows a computer overlay which includes status updates from the robot. So it looks like we're piloting or getting feedback from this robot, at least, that seems to be suppressing some poor chap. Who wants to lead off on this one? It's got a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot of text, so...
A lot of words.
And it's a threat 3, which is always a good number. Yeah.
Yeah, it's canon that this is a cat, right? This is a Hellion. We've seen these before.
It is, yeah.
So this one is interesting. Sort of unlike the assets. Like the assets, I'm not 100% sure what deck you put this into immediately. It doesn't resolve itself. But unlike the assets, I think this is very obviously and immediately powerful. Like, just at least the effect is very obviously immediately powerful. Like, you're getting, for a single click, you're taking 2 clicks away from the runner and installing something. I'm not 100% sure what you're installing or what deck you're playing it in, but that's a lot of power for 0 credits. Like, compare this to load testing, which is not a very good card, but had seen some play of just 0 take away a click from the runner, and here you are potentially doing 0 take away 2 clicks and install something. It's, I think it looks pretty strong, but again, I'm not really sure what deck it goes in.
Yeah, so the only thing this doesn't do that load test did is let you play multiples, but like you said, it does 2 clicks instead of 1, and looks like MCA austerity policy quite comfortably and quite easily.
Yeah, in my head, when I looked at these 4 cards originally, this was the one that sort of leapt out. I was like, probably instantly, that you could try and build something around, even if it's like some sort of horrible mega rice remote, and you're just trying to make your agenda run still, incredibly difficult to tackle. So,
because you're either doing something like that, where you're going like, here's an Ikawa project, and I advance it, and now you only have 2 clicks, and there's a border control that's remote. You can never steal this Ikawa project, or you're doing something like installing 3 assets. Or installing 3 cards, getting a click off wage workers, installing a 4th card and taking away 2 of their clicks, and presenting them with some unwinnable situation for the runner where, I don't know, you've just installed like 2 Reaper functions and 2 SIUs, and the board is now unsolvable because they don't have the clicks in time to get out of that trap. Or even just tempoing them out and saying, here's 4 assets, you have 2 clicks, next turn here's 4 more assets.
Yeah, seems.
Yeah,
seems good. Seems well priced as well. 0, and then 2 credits for the 3 abilities. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, as Theo correctly pointed out from the ruins of Istanbul, the tempo exchange of just the base use is very similar to Greasing the Palm. 0 credits to install a card and. Is very similar to 0 cards to install a card, 0 credits to gain 2 and install a card. That exchange is by itself, even before you factor in the threat ability, pretty powerful.
Yeah. He's also pointed out here, which is kind of disgusting, that if you combine this with a false lead, you can fairly trivially take away the runner's entire turn. And there have been a lot of false lead combo, like combo murder decks around recently, and a lot of them are very reliant on obviously a lot of all the MBM ones work with Oppo, and this doesn't synergize with Oppo at all. But like, say a force lead deck in Ob has often been very reliant on scoring two force leads, which is a ludicrous ask. No one could possibly score 2-3 ones. And with this, you can either do a fake force lead impression if the runner ends a turn on, I don't know, zero cards, and then you put a clearinghouse down with three advancements on them and take away two of their clicks, or you use this and force lead to take away their entire turn.
Again, the biggest difficulty is trying to find where to slot this, because your first thought would be something like a PD deck, which is a tempo-based deck where you're trying to aggressively score, but it's a bit too situational, a bit too specific. Like, you've got to trigger the reprisal ability for it to work. You've got to have a situation where the two clicks really, which isn't necessarily that simple, and you're probably better off just playing your standard econ tempo, go as fast as you can in that deck. The kill deck that we're talking about, I think, again, is kind of hard to slot down. There is not really a deck that uses MCA austerity policy that's really that popular at the moment, but again, that's a separate deck that you could build a shell for. So again, although the threat level, the power level of the card is very good, it doesn't have a natural home in decks we know about at the moment, but again, I could definitely see it appearing somewhere.
Yes, and in all of the like asset kill decks that it could exist in, it's immediately contesting for space with Oppo just by dint of being a terminal, and it kind of does the same thing as click compressing the runner while you present threats.
Yeah, I guess what you can say is that this is Oppo that doesn't ask you. So if you're just click compressing and the runner knows that you can't punish tags, either because they've got anti-kill or they just know that you're not, they don't have to respect your tags, this saves you some deck slots that you can use to actually play.
Yeah, so a tricky John. Some confused faces here in the studio. So yeah, another tricky one. Okay, and then there were two. But yeah, so I guess we kind of want to... It's worth
what's most likely to happen is cards. Someone's going to use this to score a car against me, and I'm going to act furious.
Yes. Yeah, that's... Like, someone's going to put this in Mirror Morph, and you're going to get MCA'd into a cardboard 20 turns in a row, and just be...
Yeah, and into a cold server and something else.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess I could see it in that deck. Like, the Mirror Morph MCA deck has always sort of been a thing, right? And that, like, this does multiple things to that deck, where it lets you install a card, take away even more clicks from the runner, and it gives you another way to force through the Akawa. If you have a loose click off the end of an MCA where you just scored a 5-3, like, doing this on a turn where you've gone, like, take away a click with MCA, score a 5-3, and then install this and take away two more clicks is just absolutely vile. That's very upsetting as a runner if you only have one click and the corpse just faster bonds to 5-3 and put a new MCA in the remote.
The only thing I will say is now that we're kind of skating over the reprisal.
Yes, that is, it is a hassle to
kind of do skate over it, because it's actually quite easy to trigger Oppo in the decks that play it. Yeah, but this is much harder to turn on in the decks that we're talking about.
Yes, I think it's relatively easy to turn on if you do fit this into something like an Ob deck, but yeah, it definitely isn't in this Mirror Morph deck that I am imagining, apart from just as extra punishment on the turns they steal. And then some of those decks have even played Punitive in the past. They kind of already have something for that space. Yep. So these three cards together, I think all of them we've kind of looked at and said, like, there's either power there or there's sort of something there, but, like, there's no deck for it. What do you think it would take? What would have to be printed for this HB asset deck that these cards sort of all... I mean, they all go into other things as well, but they, I think they are all, like, sort of asset synergies. What would need to exist for that to suddenly be really strong?
Gosh. Very difficult to conceive of that. So we know D doesn't support that. The ID is quite ice-based, and I don't think these cards base shell for them all to work together. I think you need asset shell. you also probably need another reliable ready res engine, which doesn't really exist at the moment. So I think you need a few things. You need a res deres engine that is consistent and powerful. You need a payoff, like something like Lakshmi, probably even more powerful than Lakshmi. I guess Acer does it a bit.
It's sort of a shame that Imp, well, it's not a shame, it's fine, but like if a world where you're imagining something like Lakshmi, it doesn't make much sense if Imp is everywhere. But if Imp wasn't, I think these cards would all be very strong with Lakshmi, although I still don't know if you'd play Prototype, because I don't think you'd hit the money that badly. But like taking away clicks synergizes with also presenting an asset that makes it difficult to deal with cards, and that's also a deck that often just installed a bunch of stuff face down. And would appreciate re-resing Spin Doctor 20 times. They're also all just very low trash costs, though.
Yeah, so maybe the other thing you need is something that stops running.
Okie doke. I missed a lot of that. Because I lost audio.
It was listening to it back, I'm sure.
We have figured out that the final HB card in this set is Encryption Protocol.
Oh, nice.
A card that everyone remembers what it says and does. Along with Tears Hand, obviously.
Incredible. Oh, they love it. Mike just set HB cards.
Right, are we wrapped up with active policing? Do we want to jump onto our fourth and final card?
I think so.
Okie doke. Cool. All right. So the last one is Corporate Hospitality. It's a, brace yourselves, a 4-cost operation double transaction. As an additional cost to play this operation, spend a click, gain 6, draw 2 cards, add 1 card from archives to HQ. So quite a lot on there. It's got a trash cost of 1 for this operation, and it's 2 influence. For the art on this one, it's a busy executive box at what appears to be a football game. That's soccer for our American friends. Disappointingly so, I was hoping it would be some of this futuristic sport that we saw on the Game Changer cards, but not to be. There's a load of different people eating and drinking and doing stuff that they would normally do in an executive box, which is not watching the sport at all, and consuming sushi, which is probably free. So yeah, that's about it really. No Dulux color chart for you on this one. There's just too many colors to even describe. The pitch is green. There you go. That's about it. Who wants to start with, so my initial reaction of the 4 cards when I looked at them, this one to me screamed the weakest of the 4. And that was mainly because I saw double operation and I saw a 1 trash cost. And I thought, I don't like this card particularly, but it has got a lot of effects on it. So gain 6, draw 2 and a bit of recursion. So maybe I'm wrong, but that was my gut knee jerk reaction when I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, the last cheap HB card with recursion on it did get banned, but it also wasn't trashable, crucially. So it protected the trashable cards he had in hand. I assume that's why this is trashable, because archive memories getting boom back out of the bin became problematic, along with getting other things out. It being a double. So it's a double gain 2 credits, which is kind of, gain 2 credits, draw 2 cards for a double is kind of nothing, right? Like it's it makes the cost not that noticeable, but I don't think it's too bad. I think it's sort of what this card is saying is like, if you need a recursion piece, this won't let you go like archived end of the line, end of the line, because it demands 2 clicks, but it will give you the money back and the clicks back to make you feel like you didn't waste that time too badly.
Yeah, it's definitely been...
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's been crafted to trump...
The most music thing you can do with this is loop it constantly. Just for... you can play 2 copies of this forever. I don't know why or what the end is, the big one end is, but adding a card from archives for HQ is pretty powerful, we know that. And spending your other click to play if you're saying that click 1 is archive memories, click 2 is gain 2, draw 2 cards, That's not too bad.
No, that's fine. I think at the very least, this card slots quite comfortably into something like Sports, because that is a deck that is very happy to just smash its way through the deck and draw and draw and just find pieces, and also regularly wants to recur things like Audacity. Like if your Audacity Illuminal turn one, getting your Audacity back afterwards is pretty sweet. I think this is just another nice tempo piece that goes into that deck.
Yeah, and the one thing you have to watch out for, you draw two cards, you put a card back into HQ, you're going to get hand crunched quite a lot on this card.
Yeah, I definitely don't think this goes into something like PD for exactly that reason, because like often PD you're sitting there with like an agenda in hand, two seamless launches in hand, a piece of ice that you can't afford to install. And even with your six hand size, you don't want to suddenly go up by several more cards with no clicks left.
I've been all over the place on this card because I thought the value was pretty bad initially. And then, well, actually, when I first saw it, I thought it was a single and I thought the value was incredible. But then I thought it was really bad because the second click made it quite expensive for the effect. But if it didn't have the trash cost on, I think this would be really, really quite good. Adding a trash cost, at a very low trash cost at that, makes this, I think, quite a risky card to put in your deck anyway, because cards with one trash cost are really quite iffy, especially when you want to hold them in HQ until you can play them.
Yeah, that's always the fear. It's not a card you want to be sitting in hand mid-game if you've ended up picking up an agenda or two and your HQ's a bit loose and easy for the runner to attack. It's just tough for that to sit in. I think we've lost Mike there, haven't we? Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I can see it sitting in Sports, like Mike said, which is quite convenient because of the theming as well. It's quite well aimed.
Apologies, I dropped there for a second. The trash cost does give you another way to turn on your reprisal effects if you are playing active passing or if you're playing.
That's true.
But having a trash cost is a downside. But you might be playing a deck where that downside is less or more, like less meaningful than it is for other decks if you're also playing policing.
I think if you're playing this, it's for the archive memories effect, which, although archive memories being banned is a bit of a meme at this point, the ability to recur cards is a premium effect, especially now in the current environment where you have a few very key cards like Oppo or stuff, or Rashida or whatever. Having access to that effect again is quite a big deal, and it can make certain decks that rely on those cards, if it's something like End of the Line or Oppo in particular, it can make or break those decks. So that ability alone is almost worth putting into a deck. But again, I'm not sure what deck that is at the moment.
Yeah. Also, the decks that often want recursion for those kinds of effects are decks that don't defend centrals very heavily. Or can't defend centrals very heavily, so you have a card that you need to get back, and you're worrying about it getting trashed out of your hand, a runner with loop, and that doesn't sound like a very happy situation to be relying on a one trash cost recursion effect.
Your recursion card being trashable is a cruel irony that I think will bite you more than you think.
Is quite cheap on influence, so other factions also potentially have situations like that where you have something crucial that you need to recur, like Mitosis out of Jinteki or Oppo or End of the Line, and having a low influence recursion piece could be useful there.
Yeah.
Because in something like Jinteki, in the brief window before Personal Evolution leaves this parish forever, you have other ways to defend cards that are sitting in hand, like just Snare and Sting sitting in your hand, making it unappetizing to run, potentially protecting this, and that gives, like, having a recursion effect for Mitosis is quite, like, positive, because only having three of those is a real restriction for that deck.
Yeah. This giving you an additional Anarchic Void Fire is quite funny as well. Give you Void back and the ability to trigger it one more time.
It does, again, I think sort of a repeat of what I said about Warm Reception, but it being a double does again make it very awkward with Wage Workers. It doesn't fit comfortably into a turn because you can't play two operations, play this, and then get the extra click to play the double on this, and you can't do three things and then use your fourth click to play this. You to get wage workers value and play a double, you have to have a way to get a fifth click. At which point, you're kind of like, why am I not doing something better with my five clicks?
Yeah, especially when we focus on wage workers a lot, but it's because wage workers makes those decks work by itself. It's
because
like
we like gaining clicks.
Yeah, that's right. Taking clicks away from the runner, not so good. Getting clicks yourself.
Yeah, you're right. It makes those decks, and also like if you're talking about a world where there is a very powerful HP tempo asset deck, that has to involve like your most powerful asset, presumably.
So you
must then have it working with those. Hang on. Sorry, just to step outside of the call for a minute, I'll edit this out. But I've just read, because I crashed and got back in, I don't have a stop recording button. Does anyone have a stop recording button?
I do not.
Jesus Christ. When we lost the start record button, and I was quite interested to see if this would happen. No, we just have to podcast forever now. I think that's the
deal. Well, it's just the, like, is this going to
even export anywhere?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll just have to find out.
Hang on. Let's...
Clicking the download button, it has given an estimated cost, so I think it has captured things. I think after we're done, we should just hang out here for like a couple of minutes and
then that's fine.
Hope it lets us download.
Okay.
Anyway, so
also I think we should leave this in.
Sure.
But this will break the illusion of professionalism that we've cultivated. it has been particularly bad this evening. I've had a fair share of disconnections, but
I mean, I think all three of us have dropped at least twice from this call.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
A good start to 2024.
Yeah. If anyone wonders, this is why we only release two episodes a year. It's not because we have nothing to say. It's because we don't know how to podcast.
Apparently, we did three episodes last year.
We did, yeah.
Three episodes. That's insane. I suppose we'll have to do another one now, won't we? We've done spoilers. We'll have to do the whole set review when it comes out.
Yeah.
And then the Personal Evolution funeral party.
Yeah. That'll be a bonus podcast, that one. We might even get us four episodes this year.
Okay.
We'll get Chris Ferg on for that one. He'll love it.
So I think it's worth saying, before we wrap up on these cards entirely, all of these cards are kind of similar in that we can't quite see where they fit, especially in existing decks. We think there might need to be some more cards printed to make them work in the future, but all of them have a pretty high ceiling that if the right cards and the right circumstances do come out, all of them could theoretically be quite powerful in the deck.
Yes, agreed. I think sort of in that context, by order of like the order I would expect them to break in would be like policing, warm reception, hospitality, working prototype.
Agreed.
But I could see things that would make all of them go.
John, do you want to give us your art power rankings?
Oh, that's tough. I think. I think you're probably looking at the number one spot goes to working prototype. Mainly just, I like the cheery chappy in the middle, and everyone else looking a bit stony faced. And then probably active policing, warm reception, and then I'm giving the corporate hospitality just the bottom rung. And that's mainly because I just don't agree with executive boxes.
It's come bottom of both rankings. It's doomed.
Yeah. Go buy a season ticket and have a pie and a pint like everybody else. I suppose, go back to actually talk about the cards a little bit. In my head, I was thinking, because this was the second half of the set, I expected there to be a little more like cards that would tie really tightly with stuff that we'd seen from the first bunch of cards. And I felt like more that this is leading me on to I'm waiting for something else, more pieces to come, rather than sort of like turning the dial up on something I've already seen, which is not a bad thing. I just was, in my head, I was expecting more the first and not the latter that I've experienced.
Yeah, it's hard to say where HB are after this set, because going into the set, really, they had PD as a deck and then not much else, like at the really competitive end of things. I don't think any of these cards, based on initial first blush reactions, either make PD any better or create a deck out of nothing that we didn't know about in advance. They're all, like you said, they're all very open-ended and feel like they're waiting for more cards in the future. But I don't know if HB get a competitive deck out of these cards. Certainly, I don't think the ID is particularly powerful. So it might be PD or bust into a rotation.
Yeah, it's interesting. When is rotation? This set releases March 18th, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, so oh, yes. 6 months-ish after this.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's one more batch of cards. No, there's none, yeah, is there? Right? See.
No, there is. The big box, Dawn, comes out with the rotation.
Okay.
But Dawn, I think we're assuming, is going to be slightly more system update complexity level.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Given the amount of cards that are rotating out, that makes total sense. Okay. Cool. Okay. So, yeah. I mean,
I do think this agenda is reasonably good. So, we haven't really touched Nyxes outside of our four cards. But looking at, like, how much these cards change what HB is doing, like, I think it's less obviously good than just gain 7 when you score. But
yep.
Gain the cost of 2 free pieces or 2 pieces of ice. Like, yes, you derez them, but if you use that to score another one of these, that's quite a reasonable tempo play if you're rezzing expensive ice.
Yeah.
But again, that is just in the same deck, as you say. That's just PD or bust with.
Yep. You do have to change the ice, I think, in this theoretical deck, because you want to rush one and then score two behind big ice, which you don't really play that. I mean, you can res an MIC or a Ansel, but I don't think you are getting quite as much value as you would just have credits on that case. But the ceiling of that card of resing two huge ice is enormous. If it gets you a score of another one, and that gets you a score of a 5-3, that's the end of the game.
What's the chap that lets you? Oh yeah, because you've also got the guy that gives you the discount on res ice as well. I suppose that you can feed into these sort of theoretical ice res decks. Vovo.
Yeah, it's very hard to theorize a deck that doesn't want to res ice and score agendas out of a remote until it scores its 4-2. It's kind of a weird deck to put together conceptually.
Yeah, 4-2 agendas. They're quite a tough space to fill, right, as well,
especially in HB.
Yeah, very tough. Interesting. I'll be interested to see how these develop, particularly this new ID as well.
Yeah, this is two whole cycles now where HB have got a very heavy focus on res and derez, and I don't I feel like it's probably not quite there yet. But there are more cards in this set we haven't seen, and there may be more cards in the future that tie into that theme, because it feels like it's going to be quite a major focus for the faction from now on.
Yeah. It could be one of the cards we haven't seen, but if not, and just from these six, I'm slightly surprised we haven't seen another Harmonic Ice.
Yeah.
Because that cycle didn't really work. Well, like, it was almost there, and Bloop is an okay piece of ice, but it didn't really work without this support. And I don't think this is enough to make Echo and Wave like really playable pieces of ice. So I would have expected to see another one.
That's a good point, though. A harmonic ice of a really good harmonic ice of a powerful on res effect is one of the things that might tie all this together all of a sudden.
Yeah, notable that we didn't. Of these, yeah, six, I've got nothing. No ice there at all. There was 3 pieces of ice in the last set. But they were all quite big, and they were. Oh no, you got Ablative Barry, didn't you? And then MIC and Jaguarundi. So, two chunky pieces of ice and Ablative, but nothing. Yeah, that fits quite in that niche.
No.
Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, I'll be keen to see how this develops. We can step back through this when we come back and do the whole set review. Once everything's out, sort of middle of March, we'll come back probably, what, a week after that, I suppose, and go through everything.
If you've listened to an hour of podcast and think that our conclusion is that we don't really know anything, then you are completely correct.
About right. Yeah.
About Netrunner or about how to record a podcast.
But we hope that you had a more, I don't know, what would be the word for it, a visceral experience. You got a look behind the scenes, a bit of a glimpse at the technical chaos that is recording an episode of this. Yeah, there you go. Shall we wrap it up there? Let's say goodbye, everybody. We'll catch you again for set review. But until then, see you later.
Bye.
Bye bye.